Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is the post-game podcast. The Timberwolves fell to the Utah Jazz on Monday afternoon by a single point as Jaden McDaniels missed a wide-open shot as the game ended. But it wasn't all about that final shot. It was about the fourth quarter defensive issues. It was about inconsistent offense early in the game from some of the Wolves' key players. We're going to break down everything that happened. Oh, and by the way, that Walker Kessler 2020 game as well. It's all upcoming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is not a Victory Tuesday. The Timberwolves fell on Monday afternoon, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The matinee lost the Utah Jazz by a single point. I want to break down what happened in this game, and it's not all about the final possession. I do want to talk about that, but plenty to get to in this one. It was a fun game, even if the result isn't what we wanted. A big thank you, first of all, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch the show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. More great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today. Again, that's Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and my account, which is at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so the Wolves, you know, coming off of two exciting wins Friday, beating an admittedly shorthanded and struggling Suns team, but still a nice win Friday night. Saturday, beating a basically full-strength Cleveland Cavaliers team, hanging on to win late, and just putting the clamps on Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell late in that game. Really impressive defense over the final 15 to 18 or so minutes of that one. And then Sunday, we get the exact opposite, or excuse me, Monday. The Wolves, you know, led for a good chunk of the game. They were up 6 at halftime, up 8 at the end of the third quarter. I want to talk a little bit more about the third, too, because I think it masks, I think some of the Wolves' issues started happening in the third quarter of this game. But the fourth quarter is what I want to really key in on, because what we saw on Saturday against Cleveland, a much better overall team on both ends of the floor, but a much better offense with the Cleveland Cavaliers, we saw the exact opposite of those positive. The positive scrambling defensively, the more aggressive high wall pick and roll coverage, and the Xing out and the low man stepping up, all that stuff we saw Saturday, we did not see that Monday against a worse offensive team in Utah. Now, both games there was no Rudy Gobert on the stretch. Gobert played only, I think, 13 minutes Saturday, left with the groin injury. Started, tried to go on Monday against Utah, and then after only 5 minutes had to go back to the locker room with the groin soreness issue again. So the Wolves did go back to playing high wall coverage. For the most part, it was effective, at least early in the game, but the Jazz adjusted. And credit Will Hardy, the Jazz, you know, first year head coach, for making some adjustments, putting Clarkson off the ball in the corner for most of the middle part of the game and forcing the Wolves to respect his ability to stretch the floor. And the Wolves were then reacting to the Jazz's adjustment. And Minnesota just wasn't able to be crisp in their rotations. If the Wolves played like they did Saturday for the most of the third and the fourth quarter defensively, if they played with that same urgency defensively, the point of attack defense as well, then they would have won this game. Again, up 8 going to the fourth quarter. Like, that's a game you should win against. I know the Jazz have a similar record, but really a team with inferior talent to Minnesota, even with no Rudy Gobert and no Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, the Wolves have probably the best player on the floor in Anthony Edwards between the two teams, which should be the best player on the floor. And D'Angelo Russell should be in the conversation for the second best all-around player on the floor. And yet the Wolves just completely faltered defensively. The pick and roll coverage was a bit of an issue, but straight up point of attack defense. The Wolves allowed too many straight line drives in this game, especially in the fourth quarter. Again, I mean, they gave up, what did they give up in the fourth quarter? 39? Yeah, 39 fourth quarter points to Utah, which just can't happen. It just can't happen. Jordan Clarkson was a problem off the ball, like I mentioned, for much of the middle part of the game. But in the fourth quarter on the ball, he was an issue too. He finished with 21 points on 16 shots. The Wolves at least made his life a little bit more difficult. Anthony Edwards got lost in the wash a bit. I mean, Malik Beasley hit a big three with 2 minutes left in the game. And in what was a tie game, Edwards was helping off of Beasley in the corner and just kind of ended up with a foot in the paint. Beasley kind of crept up the sideline to the right slot, took a pass, and Edwards got caught up there. It wasn't a full screen, but whoever the Jazz was player that was on the wing kind of got in his way as Edwards was trying to get out to contest the jumper, and Beasley got off a mostly clean look. It was his only 3-point make in six attempts, and the former Timberwolves wing put the Jazz up by three. At that point, they pushed it to five the next possession. The Wolves did get back and tie it, and then with about 5 seconds left, Austin Rivers fouled Clarkson. Clarkson, you know, just kind of a blocking foul. It was a foul. It's just one of those that you don't often see in the final 5 seconds of the game. So it was a little ticky-tack, but hard to get upset about it. It was a foul. Clarkson hits one of two, and then the Wolves have a possession. I want to say, well, actually, let's talk about it now. Let's talk about that final possession. The Wolves down 1 point. They obviously don't need a three. So the Jazz don't guard the inbounder. They don't guard Kyle Anderson throwing the ball inbounds. They instead choose to put, obviously, one on Ant. They have a second player kind of hovering around the free throw line. Both of those guys go to Ant when he gets the ball. And Ant drives to his right, basically has two guys on him. He has the opportunity to kick it to the wide open shooter in the corner and Jaden McDaniels to shoot. There's two guys, one even with him, one a little bit trailing, and then Kessler's ready to step up from the paint. So 2.5 guys on him, or throw it back to D'Angelo Russell, who's now faded to the left slot and is open. But that the angle on that pass could be tricky. It could be deflected by either Russell's or whoever was guarding the player in the corner. I think in the opposite corner, I think it was Anderson or Rivers. They would have been able to maybe tip a pass swung back to Russell. So really, Edwards' only options were to shoot a difficult contested shot because Kessler was waiting there. I don't think that that's an easy shot, or pass it to the corner to a wide open Jaden McDaniels. And McDaniels is good in the corners. He's a good three point shooter from the corners. Edwards makes the pass, which I think was the proper basketball play, and McDaniels just misses the three. Everything about that final play was fine. I think Finch drawing up something to get the ball in Edwards' hands and just kind of create from there is the best thing you can do, right? And Edwards made the proper read. I think it's unlikely you're going to get a foul call there on the last possession of the game. So, you know, going to the body of Kessler maybe would have been a fine decision, but Kessler's also a really good shot blocker. And, you know, swinging the ball, flipping it back to Russell would have been difficult if the ball gets stolen. Then now everybody's saying, well, why didn't he throw it to the wide open McDaniels in the near corner, the strong side corner? So I don't have any problem with how the last play unfolded. And the previous inbounds play after the timeout, when it was still a 3-point game at the time, and maybe it was a 2-point game. But the last ATO that Chris Finch had drawn up before that was a fantastic play that was designed to get Edwards the ball as a cutter going to the basket, and he did get the ball. The Jazz there was just a little bit too much congestion in the paint. Edwards couldn't squeeze the trigger, and they ended up turning it over. But I thought it was actually a really good ATO call. So I don't have any problem with how Finch managed the end of this game, or really with the Wolves' execution. I don't think it was bad. It was just the Jazz played good defense, and McDaniels missed an open shot, and that happens. It was the fourth quarter defense was the number one issue late. Second chance points throughout the game, and then also late in the game. They gave up 14 offensive rebounds to Utah, but it was the timeliness of Utah's second chance points that was the bigger issue. Some of those rebounds just appeared to be at the most opportune times. Kessler had one, actually had a couple with putbacks in the fourth quarter. By the way, 9 of the 14 offensive rebounds for Utah were by Timberwolves draft selection Walker Kessler in this game. A tough way to go out, giving up all those offensive boards, and especially to Kessler. I want to talk a little bit about some of the other issues, certainly offensive rebounding being one of them. I want to talk about the foul issues, the technical foul issues. I also want to focus on how well Ant played in the third quarter, the impact Jaden McDaniels had on this game, and then we'll get to individual studs and duds here at the end of the show. So we're going to do all that here in just a moment. Today's episode of Lockdown Wolves is brought to us by our friends at Rocket Money. If your New Year's goals are to manage your budget better and save money, then you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they've simply forgotten about, like that streaming service you bought to watch just one show on, or that free trial that you never even used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. Simply find the subscription you don't want and press cancel. And Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service or tedious emailing back and forth. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person among those 3 million up to $720 per year. I recently moved. I definitely had this issue. I had some subscriptions, plus the cost of moving. I kind of went through everything once I finally got done moving. It was like, wait a minute. I had like two or three things that they really add up, right? I mean, like $8 a month times two or three or whatever it is. Truebill, excuse me, Rocket Money, now known as Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is the best way to get rid of those unwanted subscriptions. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockdownnba. That's rocketmoney.com/lockdownnba. rocketmoney.com/lockdownnba. All right, taking a half step back here on Wolves Jazz. I talked a lot about the fourth quarter, the defensive issues, the offensive rebounding, or the second chance points, defensive rebounding issues in the fourth quarter. The first half overall was pretty solid. Anthony Edwards struggled from the floor. I think his only two makes in the first half were both dunks. He had 4 points at halftime. But the ball movement and some really good shooting from D'Angelo Russell. D'Lo had a good game. We'll talk more about him here in a minute. That kind of helped cancel out some of those issues and some of Ant's shooting issues. Again, good offensive ball movement, good shooting from D'Angelo Russell. Naz Reid played really well when he first got into the game in the first quarter after Rudy went out with the injury. It seemed there was never an official report from the team, but it seemed like Naz Reid was in some pain, and they did show him on the broadcast. I think he was on the bike, but really just stretching, had kind of a heat pad or something on his back. He's missed games with back spasms this year. He appeared to be in some pain, and really after that first stint, Naz wasn't quite as effective as the game wore on. Rebounding issues in the first half were an issue as well. I mean, second chance points were one of the ways that Utah hung around. This was a 6-point game at halftime. And then in the third quarter is when some of the same issues we saw in the fourth started to crop up. The Wolves did extend their lead by two. They were a +2 in the third quarter, so they were up 8 going to the fourth. But I think that if you just look at the box score, you glance up and see that, like, if you weren't watching closely, I think it's tricky. I think that it's deceptive for how the Wolves played in the third. The reason the Wolves extended their lead is because Anthony Edwards went from 4 points in the first quarter to just going bonkers in the first half to going bonkers in the third quarter. He scored 17 points in the third quarter, and he was the reason the Wolves were up 8 going to the fourth. But some of the same issues we've seen consistently in the third quarter all season came up again. It was perimeter defense. It was a lack of attention to detail on offense, some sloppy possessions. Even though the Wolves only gave up the ball, they only committed 6 turnovers in the game, which is insane, by the way. Fantastically clean when it comes to a lack of turnovers. There were still some kind of messy possessions where they just didn't get clean looks at the rim. We also saw some of the bad habits. Complaining about the officiating led to 3 technical fouls, 2 in the third quarter and then 1 in the fourth. 1 from Torian Prince after he felt like he was pushed, which he was, before missing a jumper. He was kind of pushed off his line as he was trying to take the ball, drive the ball from the perimeter. I think it was Beasley. Got a technical. Then Anthony Edwards got one after complaining about a call, which I don't necessarily think it should have been a foul. So, the Prince was right. I don't know that Ant was on the one he chose to complain about, but that was 2 technicals. The Jazz made 1 of those 2. Then in the fourth quarter, after Jaden McDaniels got called for it was actually his 5th foul at the time, which I want to talk more about that in a minute. Finch got called for a technical. And of course, this game ended up being a 1-point loss. The Wolves gave up 3 technical free throw attempts, 2 technical free throw makes in this game. Obviously, without those, we could play that game all day. But like without those, this is a 1-point Wolves win, right? If it were all that simple. But some of these issues started in the third quarter. The bad habits of complaining about the officiating, the bad habits of not getting back. There was a possession where Ant was just slow getting back. And on rotation, the ball swung. It wasn't obvious because it wasn't Ant's man, but everybody was scrambling because Ant wasn't back in time and the Jazz got an easy bucket. Those habits cropped up in the third quarter. But because Ant was all of a sudden, he couldn't miss from 3. He was playing bully ball in the paint. He was getting some foul calls. He got to the line a little bit in the third quarter. All of a sudden, the Wolves were up 8. And, you could be deceived into thinking like, oh, Minnesota has this game under control. Obviously, that's not what happened because those defensive issues continued into the fourth quarter and Ant didn't stay hot in the fourth quarter, right? He had, 21 going to the fourth. Ant finishes the game with 29 and, again, was fine. I'm not at all. I'm just saying that, like, he wasn't he wasn't on fire like he was in the third to help cover up for some of those deficiencies that the Wolves otherwise had. So those issues in the third quarter bled into the fourth, and ultimately that was all she wrote. The Wolves ended up losing by one. I talked a little bit about rebounding. I talked a little bit about defending without fouling. Let's talk a bit more about that. The Timberwolves committed 20 personal fouls as a team. By the way, half of them were Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels. They both had 5 personal fouls. The Jazz committed only 12 as a team. So Naz and Jaden McDaniels together committed 10 personal fouls. The Jazz as a team committed 12. I don't say that to blame the officiating. I'm not blaming the officiating. I'm saying that because the Timberwolves could not defend without fouling, and the Jazz did. I don't think it was the officiating. I would have loved, though. I think the Wolves could have gotten more than 18 free throw attempts. I think Ant could have gotten another call or two. But I don't think it was egregious by any means. I don't blame the officiating at all. I blame the lack of aggressiveness from the Wolves, at least consistently, right? Ant in the third quarter was pretty good. The first half was okay, although it was more the perimeter than it was getting to the free throw line. I thought the Wolves played well overall in the first half. But Utah just kept coming, kept coming, kept coming. And the Wolves allowed the Jazz to get into the bonus early in at least 2 of the 4 quarters in this game. I think 3 of them, actually. The Jazz were in the bonus very early. And Utah ended up attempting 10 more free throws in this game. It was actually tied at halftime. Free throw attempts were at, I think, 8 apiece. Utah had 10 more free throw attempts in the second half than Minnesota did. And of course, the biggest issue there, well, the biggest problem was all the free throw attempts. The other problem is Jaden McDaniels picking up his 5th foul with just 10 minutes left on the clock in the fourth quarter. McDaniels didn't come back in until about a minute 20 left. So he missed 9 critical minutes in the fourth quarter of this game. When he left, the Timberwolves were still up by 4 points. Up 3. With 10:11 left in the game is when he picked up his 5th foul, that cheapie on the offensive end of the floor. It was a foul, but it came right after he had been shoved by Beasley, and they didn't call the foul. McDaniels got mad, shoved Clarkson after the Jazz switched, got hit with the foul, had to go to the bench. Finch picks up the technical. The Wolves are still up 3. By the time McDaniels comes back in with the 5 fouls with a minute and a half to play in the game, the Wolves are now down 4. So they were -7 with him not on the floor, with McDaniels not on the floor in the fourth quarter. And Marnie Gellner and I talked about this on the live postcast following the game on Monday night. McDaniels, like, the box score doesn't look great, right? 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 fouls, a couple assists, a couple steals, 2 of 8 shooting, misses the jumper at the end of the game, only played 21 minutes because of the foul trouble. But he was so impactful defensively that it was a major deal that he wasn't on the floor for most of the fourth quarter. He was a +11 in this game because he wasn't on the floor in the fourth. Nobody else on the Wolves was better than a +4. And Jaden was a +11 in this game. He was so good defensively. Similar to how he locked up Mitchell and Garland for periods of time on Saturday, Clarkson struggled when McDaniels was on him. McDaniels helping off of Clarkson was good too. Like, he was able, he's so long that he's able to play passing lanes while he's guarding a high usage player. Like, that's how good McDaniels is defensively. We're really getting into, like, true lockdown defender territory where he's just straight locking guys down when he guards them on the defensive end of the floor. And that's not something, like, I think his defense, frankly, I've said this on the show, I thought it was a little overrated as a rookie, even a little bit last year. This year, the metrics are agreeing with the eye test. The eye test is even more obvious this year that the length is being utilized by McDaniels. The smarts are there. He's starting, like, he's figured out how to play defense at the NBA level. And these games like this one, where he gets into foul trouble, are becoming fewer and much further between those games, right? He hasn't really been in a lot of foul trouble of late. He's been a common topic on this show. And also on the postcast, when Marnie and I have talked about Jaden McDaniels, spent a couple minutes on him for, you know, several shows in a row now, it feels like. He did have 5 fouls again on Saturday, but he was so good on Garland and Mitchell with such a tough assignment that it wasn't really a shock. This game, he picked up some cheap fouls. But going back before that, he'd played 5 straight games without getting into foul trouble. And, you know, those were all really positive game, except for that Pistons game, right? But you take that out, the Wolves beat the Suns when McDaniels played 36 minutes. They beat the Rockets when he played 31 minutes. They beat the Clippers when he played 33 minutes. The 2 games before that they won, he was in a little bit of foul trouble, but he still played 25 plus minutes in each of those games. You can very clearly see the games when McDaniels doesn't get into foul trouble, the Timberwolves have a better chance to win. He's that good of a defender. He makes a really strong non-box score impact on each and every game. Okay, let's close the show today by talking individual studs and duds. We're going to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every pro and amateur league out there, from pro football to college football, which I guess is over now. But hey, pro football playoffs, plus the NBA and college basketball, plus hockey, really any sport. We're getting, I mean, NFL playoffs are a ton of fun on BetOnline, by the way. I can't wait for the Super Bowl. That's the best prop betting for the Super Bowl. All that stuff is there. Also, check the Wolves line for the game Wednesday in Denver. I'm curious about this one. It's obviously going to depend a little bit on Rudy Gobert's availability, but if he doesn't play, I think the Nuggets are probably going to be favored by, I don't know, six or something like that. The Nuggets have won several games in a row, but they'll also be on the second night of a back-to-back. So maybe it won't be six. Maybe it'll be 4.5 or 5. It'll be interesting to see what that line is Wednesday. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's talk individual studs and duds in this one. Studs, I'm going to go with D'Angelo Russell. We haven't talked much about D'Lo on the show yet today, and that's mostly because, I don't know, there's a lot that happened in this one. D'Lo was very good. 21.7 assists, only one turnover, 6 of 11 shooting. He picked his spots. He was efficient, 6 of 6 at the line. It's not very often that D'Lo leads the Timberwolves in free throw attempts for a game, but he did. He was a perfect 6 of 6 at the line. Nobody else. Actually, only Ant had more than 2 free throw attempts in this game besides D'Lo. D'Lo had 6, Ant had 5, nobody else had more than 2. And he was 6 of 11, made 3 of his first 4 3-point attempts, was a plus 3, one of only 4 Timberwolves players with a positive plus minus in this game. I thought D'Lo was very good. Did a really good job initiating offense, smart decisions. You know, he was part of the issue when it came to point of attack defense on the perimeter. You know, late in this game, especially in the fourth quarter, but he wasn't the issue, right? I don't think it was glaring in terms of specifically D'Lo. He's really got to have more than one rebound in 31 minutes, but I mean, like, he played what, third most minutes on the Wolves and he only had one rebound. So, not great, but overall, I thought this was a good D'Lo game. Also, shame on me for not talking about Kyle Anderson earlier than, you know, the 20 whatever minute this is of the podcast. But Slo-Mo, triple-double, second career triple-double, of course, his first in a Wolves uniform. 13 points on 6 of 12 shooting, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, a steal and a block, no turnovers. How often do you see a guy have a 10-assist, no-turnover game? Kyle Anderson did that in this one. He made one of his 2 3-point attempts. It was an above-the-break three, too. This was just a really solid all-around Slo-Mo game. Picked his spots, kind of picked apart the defense, had, I think all 5 of his 2-point makes were kind of his typical kind of slow motion drive to the rim, scoop layup off the glass. We saw a lot of that from Slo-Mo in this game, and he was really good, kind of kept the offense humming in the first half, and also had a couple big assists in the second half too. He had 6 assists at halftime. He had one really big one in the fourth quarter. He kicked it to the corner, actually. I think he was the assist on the Austin Rivers 3 that pulled the Wolves to back within 2, and they were down 5 with under 2 minutes to play. Anderson got into the teeth of the defense, kicked it to Rivers in the corner for the 3. Just a really big play from both of those guys, both those veterans, but a really strong play from Kyle Anderson. And a good game from him all the way around. Third stud for me in this game, I guess I'll go Anthony Edwards. 29 points, 10 of 25 shooting, not ultra efficient. The technical was also not great. 4 of 10 shooting from 3, though. 5 of 5 at the line. He did have 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 turnovers in this game. I thought this was overall a good Edwards performance. He was 2 of 9 from the field to start. Only had 4 points at halftime. All those points coming on dunks. Like, the first half wasn't great. And Marty and I talked about this on the postcast too. This is another one of those games where for, like, I don't know, of his 36 minutes, there were probably 24 of them that were pretty meh minutes from Anthony Edwards. Like, the consistency's not there. But the other 12, he was the best player on the floor by far. Not even close. Nobody else was even close to as good of him as him for those, you know, 10 or 12 minutes when he dominated. But he just doesn't seem to do it for consistent, like, for entire games, right? We've seen it a handful of times in his career. Could he just play with that chip on his shoulder? And Marnie talked about this on the postcast. He came out of a timeout in the third quarter like his hair was on fire. He just played, like, really hard, played really well for a span of, you know, a handful of minutes in the third quarter. If we could just have a little bit more consistency behind that, I mean, look out. We've been saying that about Ant now for a while, but this was overall still a good Ant game. He was good enough for that stretch, kept the Wolves up by 8 going to the fourth quarter. He's not the sole reason, obviously, that they lost this game. So I think he was a stud. Another, really, there were a lot of guys that played well for the Wolves. I also want to call out Jalen Noel. Another good game from him. He'd had such a rough stretch for a while there. Had missed, I think, his last 9 or 10 three-point attempts coming into the game, but he made 2 in this game, 16 points on 11 shots. That's efficient enough. One of only 4 Wolves with a positive plus-minus, a couple of rebounds in 22 minutes. Helped keep the offense afloat in the second quarter of this game as the Wolves built a couple possession lead going into halftime. I thought this was a good Jalen Noel game as well. Duds? I don't know. I don't know that there really was one. I guess I'll give one to Luka Garza. He had 3 points on 7 shots in this game. Did hit 1 3. 1 of 7 shooting. One possession, he missed at least 2 of those 7 shots. He just missed 2-3 bunnies at the rim. I mean, he missed what? 5 2-pointers, and they were all in the paint. Just not, you know, some of it's bad luck. He had 4 rebounds, all offensive rebounds. Just missed a bunch of putbacks. There were 1 or 2 of those he should have just slung back out to the perimeter for an open jumper. So not the best game for Garza. If Gobert's groin injury keeps him out on Wednesday, which I think there's a real possibility that that's the case, given how hobbled he looked when he left the game on Monday, we're going to see a lot more Garza. Nate Knight played well in his 9 minutes, I thought. 7 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist for Knight, knocked down a 3. He's a little bit of a better pound-for-pound rebounder, I think, than Garza. So to see both of those guys see some run, you know, Nas, I don't know for sure, but perhaps he's having some back issues. That's certainly what it looked like in this game late in the first half. He also had 5 fouls. Like, Nas does get into foul trouble too. So all 3 of those guys, Knight, Garza, and Reed, are going to be needed with, obviously, Towns still out and potentially Gobert out on Wednesday too. He's really the only dud. I don't know that individually anybody played all too badly. I mean, McDaniel's foul trouble wasn't great, but we talked about how good he was defensively again in this game. Torian Prince was good off the bench. Austin Rivers was good too. 10 points, a couple of made threes, that big made three late, good on-ball defense too. That foul, he did foul the three-point shooter, you know, gave Jordan Clarkson that 4-point play, and then fouled Clarkson with the, you know, when the Wolves were in the penalty with 4 seconds left that allowed the Jazz to get that go-ahead free throw. So some issues there, kind of a couple of goat-ish moments, not the good kind for Austin Rivers late in this game, but thought generally he played well too. And that doesn't, you know, those plays don't necessarily take away from how well he played overall in this game. All right, not much else to say here. The Wolves play next on Wednesday. We'll break down the Wolves-Nuggets matchup on Wednesday's show. This is at 9 p.m. Central tip, an ESPN game Wednesday night. We'll still do the live postcast with Marnie, which will be after midnight, honestly, Central, because ESPN broadcasts take a bit longer. But we'll go live with Marnie Wednesday night, technically Thursday morning. And then, weirdly enough, the Wolves play right again Thursday night. It's not a national TV game. So they play 9 p.m. Central on Wednesday in Denver, fly back this one-game road trip, fly back Thursday for a 7 p.m. Central tip, not a national TV game, against Toronto on Thursday. So that's a tough back-to-back. And then they have Houston Saturday. So it'd be huge to pick up one of these two, win either at Denver or at home on the back-to-back against Toronto. And then win both Houston games could get you back above 500 if the Wolves win. So I guess that'd be 3 of the next 4 overall before you go to New Orleans again next Wednesday. And then a nice lengthy 6-game homestand after that. So here's hoping for 1 of 2 wins, whether it's at Denver Wednesday or at home against Toronto Thursday, I think that's doable. So we'll break down that Denver matchup Wednesday. I want to talk a little more Jaden McDaniels and what he's done so far this year, his defensive credentials now, dive into some advanced stats. So that'll be Wednesday's show. Big thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, you can watch on YouTube. You can listen on all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at B Beacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Lockdown Wolves podcast is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now, make your second listen, the Game to Game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, and every result, Lockdown Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Lockdown can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Lockdown NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Lockdown Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.